Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I'm looking forward to today's video, sharing with you thoughts that will encourage you to allow God to become real to your soul. Amen. And you getting your prayers answered, as well as having testimonies to share with other people. I don't know if you've seen this today, but I certainly have. Christianity has, in a measure, lost its ability to speak. People will turn you down right away when they know you're a Christian. You start talking to them about Jesus. I remember 20, 30 years ago, people out of respect for the name of Jesus would actually listen to you. Oh, every once in a while you get a door shut in your face, but for the most part, people had respect. Today, there's not much respect in the world. It's a very selfish world. And of course, Paul talks about this in the scriptures to warn us about the day that we're living in, that people will be lovers of what is corrupt and haters of God. And we're seeing that right here today. So it's very, very important that you have testimonies to share with those who you're sharing God with. That's what will open up their hearts, open up their minds. Well, again, I want to come over to John chapter 14. I'm going to read that real quickly. But before I do, and I know this may wear somebody out, but you know what? Sometimes when you've got a scripture that's so good, you just want to say it over and over again until we begin to memorize it. In fact, I'll tell you what, let's begin to memorize that, this passage here in Matthew chapter 11, 27 through 30 in the Message Bible. I'll do the same so that the next time I have it mostly memorized now, but we'll do it the same so the next time we can just memorize it together. Because it's such an important verse that helps you to see that Jesus really wanted to share with people why he had a relationship, how he had a relationship, and the nuts and bolts of his relationship with his Father. He wasn't trying to keep it to himself. He wants us to experience life on the same level of which he experiences life with his Father. That's why in the 27th verse, it begins in the Message Bible here, Matthew chapter 11, to say, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm willing to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Folks, can you hear the tone of what Jesus is trying to say? I can't tell you how amazing that sounds, that there is a free and a very light place for us to live in. At the very beginning of some of our adventures in grace, about a month ago, we were talking about this wide open spaces of life that the Message Bible seems to embellish that particular mindset in many different places, where Paul said, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. He said, come on and walk out into the wide open spaces of life. Don't be fenced in. Come on, think of that Mustang for a moment that got trapped or caught and he got put inside of a fence and he's just going from side to side, running around and he's snorting with great power, trying to let everybody know he wants to be free. Do you feel like that at times, that maybe you're also confined in your relationship with God? You can't break out into something that's better, something that's actually more powerful, where you receive answers to your prayers, where God is real to you, and there's a joy in your heart and a smile on your face that you can't seem to get rid of because God's real? People wonder what's going on with you. And if you were to tell them all of it, they wouldn't be able to handle it. So you just give them one testimony after another and let them know that God is just so good. And here's the reason why. Oh, I know you may know 1,000 scriptures, but if you give them too many, they'll just choke. I thank God for the word of God, but let the word of God become real to you where you share your testimony of what he's done with other people. It'll bless them. Come on, we were sharing something about God being real. We've been talking in this particular section about Christianity, real Christianity, the hearing, seeing, and doing lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Did he not give us as a prototype a pattern to which to follow? Did he not say, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it? I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to open our hearts and minds to the idea that we could be connected to God in a measure where we would walk with him like he was a real person, because he is. Come on, under the old covenant, they were under the law and they were suppressed by their constant failure. It's not fun to fail. It's not fun to mess up. And there's all kinds of feelings and emotions that are attached to that. And God wanted to set you free so you no longer live under shame and under guilt and under condemnation, which seems to be the root cause of why people never seem to be able to go to God like God wants them to. He's not holding anything against you. He's not making you take a test. Jesus took the test for us. Somebody needs to jump up and down and shout amen, and somebody else needs to move your foot and realize that you can jump up and down because your foot is no longer bound. The bones are back in place. The tendons are whole. The muscles are no longer sore. God has just healed you and set you free in your foot. You can give us that testimony anytime you want because God is moving. I'm telling you, I'm experiencing more of this on a regular basis the more I open up my heart, folks, and let God be real to me. John 14, 18 to 20 in the Message Bible says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come alive. He's talking about when they experience him as Lord and Savior. It goes on to say, at that moment, and that's so important that you know, the moment that you are born again, at that very moment, Jesus talking right here, believes that you will have an encounter with the Father. At that moment, you will experience, or know, means experience, absolutely, that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, because that's exactly what Jesus prayed for. The one thing that he prayed for is that we would know the Father in the same measure and same way that he knows the Father. We are in him, and he is in us. Powerful scripture, folks. What is it doing? It's authenticating that we're supposed to experience our Lord and our Savior. And now, over here in John 14, 21, one verse later, but in the Amplified Version, listen to what this says. Jesus talking here. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and will make myself real to him. Can I read the last part that's in brackets of the Amplified, verse 21 of John 14? I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Well, someone will say, well, brother, that's when the Word of God becomes real to you. You see Jesus in the Word. Well, we do see Jesus in the Word so that we can see Jesus personally, so that we can experience him, his tangibility, his presence, the sound of his voice. Oh, we have to go there, folks. Because the more real Jesus becomes to you, that's where your faith is ignited. When you hear God speak to you, faith comes alive. In other words, your belief mechanism inside of you that has a tangible substance to it. Now, faith is the substance of things that you hope for, desire for, or believe in. Yes, faith is substance. And you hear God speak. You sense God's presence. The Word of God through the Holy Ghost comes alive to you. And then there's something inside that is awakened. That's what one translation said of over there in Romans chapter 10, 17. Faith is awakened by hearing God. Yes, that's right. He's supposed to be real. You know, I've shared this before, but I'll share it again right now. And then I can't believe that time is just literally ticking away. We'll see if I can share one more thing. I loved going with my dad in the car to Thiel's Dairy. Now, those that are from the Western New York area, especially Niagara Falls, you would know what I'm talking about. It was called Thiel's. I used to call it Tilly's because I didn't know how to pronounce it. But it was just an old-fashioned dairy. And back in that day, I'm talking about the 60s. I'm talking about the early 70s. You know, we would be going all the time. And they had, you know, the little bar counter with the little stools. And behind the bar counter, there were multiple milkshake little machines, you know, blenders with the whole back that would come up high, and then there would be one blender that would come down low, and there's a little place to take that big metal cup and put it in there and connect it when they had all the ingredients in, and it would just spin and spin and spin, and they'd pour out, you know, into your glass your milkshake, put a little whipped cream and a cherry on top, and then they'd also give you the rest of the milkshake that was in that container. And man, I couldn't wait to go there. Our favorite was hot fudge, a hot fudge milkshake. It was so good. Well, you know what my dad would say, Jimmy, let's go get a milkshake. I'd say, Dad, that's great. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't sit over in the other seat, the passenger seat, saying, I believe I'm going to receive my milkshake. I believe I'm going to receive my milkshake. I believe I'm going to receive my milkshake. I believe I'm going to receive, like I'm a parent. My dad would have said, what are you doing? And if I would have said, like, we do what we do today, well, I'm just making sure you go. I'm just making sure my faith is real. He would have said, Jimmy, how many times have I failed to take you when it's time to go? Don't you know that I want one just as badly as you do? And I enjoy you having one just as much as I enjoy having it myself. Do you know that's our dad? That's our Heavenly Father. He wants us to experience him one experience after the other. And this last verse of scripture will tie in perfectly. It's over in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 17 in the Message Bible. It says, this resurrection life you have received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. There's no death in this life, folks. It's not like the children of Israel when they tried to make themselves their own God. And God said to them, listen, I've been doing what I've been doing by my grace to love you as my people. But if you want to forsake me and go over and have your own God and make a calf, you know, a golden calf out of all the gold and jewelry and have that become your God because you think I've forsaken you. If you want to do it that way, then I'm going to show you what it's like if you want my help. You're going to have to come to me in perfection because I am perfection. And all of a sudden, there were 10 laws that were given, the laws of Moses. And folks, that was a grave-tending life. There was death in it. Paul even talks about that. The glory of this new covenant is so glorious compared to the death-dealing glory of the old covenant. And look at what happened in the old covenant with the glory of God. So many miracles. Oh, folks, we're sitting on a powder keg of miracle signs and wonders and power that lives within us. If we can awaken it and awaken our own soul to the spiritual world, we're going to see more things than we've ever seen in our lifetime without having to have an end time revival in order to see it. You can see it all by yourself because Jesus is that real. Notice what it goes on to say. It's an adventurously expectant greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa, life. In other words, it's not a grave-tending, timid life. It's an adventurously expectant greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we could go on reading, but I wanted to get that into you because I want you to know that everything about experiencing God comes down to what's next, Papa. Do you know what that sounds like to a grandpa? Yes, 16 months ago, we had our first grandchild, my daughter Drew and Paul. His name is Theo James. What a funny little guy he is, and I'm teaching him to throw that football. Now he'll just pat it like that, wiggle his hips like he's avoiding a rusher, and then throw it. Even taught him to catch it as well. Well, just here a few weeks ago, we had our second little grandchild, a little girl by the name of Lucy James. And what a blessing she is. And you know the interesting things already with Theo? You know, obviously Lucy's just so brand new as a newborn. But Theo is starting to really wake up in his consciousness of what he sees and what he recognizes. And we start playing and he just loves to play more and more. And now he's not fully talking, but he'll stand at the door and just make, you know, gestures. And I realize what he wants to do is go into his room and play. What's next, Papa? It should be one experience after another. Well, you know, you may get tired of this particular type of a grace experience, but I can't help but just share it with you because I do love, you know, the game of golf, and I love being outside on a beautiful course where you see the beautiful scenery and landscaping, and many times in the mountains, of course, the mountain courses, you're seeing so much of beauty. Even when it's just a course that's not mountains, it's still just fun for me to get away, especially when I travel. And one of the things that I find out is God always seems to give us the most perfect day when it should be a rainy day. I don't even think about it anymore. I just go, and I know if it's raining, it's going to stop, and it just stops, or it rains for a second, no one is on the course, and all of a sudden it was a packed house, and the next thing you know, I'm out there all by myself just enjoying Jesus, got headphones on, listening to some jazz music or listening to some piano music and just saying, thank you, Lord, for everything that's around me, because on that golf course, you can see nothing more than the beauty of Jesus everywhere you go. Well, it was just like that up in South Carolina in when I was with my son-in-law on a day where it could have easily been a rainy day. And we're out there, and you know what? We just happened to be out there when it was a beautiful day, and we were basically all by ourselves. Now, on that particular day, we didn't know it, but they aerated the greens, and so the greens weren't really good, so you couldn't really putt very well. So there was hardly anybody out there. All we did is mention, we didn't complain. I'm not about complaining, but I just mentioned to the guy that was so nice. His name was Spencer behind the desk. I said, you know, it would have been wonderful if you told us ahead of time that you had aerated the greens. He said, you know, I'm really sorry. And the next thing that he did was he handed us a couple of rain checks so we can go back and play. I said, by no means are we trying to take advantage of you. Every time I come here, this is the best course in town. I'll be back. Thank you so much. And we had a wonderful little conversation with him, but God just lavished on us not only a wonderful time together, but the opportunity to come back and do it again for free. You know, I'm not just trying to get free things, folks. I just want to experience God. But my Father, who loves me so much, just wants to get involved in everything I do until my life seems to just be so amazing. And I have nothing but respect and love for my Lord. Well, you can meet us again here on the YouTube channel, and definitely subscribe on Adventures in Grace YouTube channel, and you'll go ahead and get these videos one after the other. Oh, amen. It's going to be so good to put out two instead of just one. But then you can also go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page, and you can find the videos as well, or go to jimhockaday.com, and you can find our website and the different materials that we have, if they would be a blessing, if they would help you in any way, shape, or form. It's been great to be with you again. Can't wait to be with you one more time next week. Oh, I'm looking forward to trying to finish some of this material, and I know you are too. We'll see you next week. God bless you.